that come through okay?
Good morning. It's indeed a pleasure to be with you here this morning and get to see you once again. It's been a while since I was here, and I've been looking forward to getting here to be able to express our appreciation for this congregation, your love and support for us over these many years. And I get to see the old faces. We're all getting older. I guess I'm getting older than many, but it's sure a delight to be here. And I appreciate this time to be with you. I've enjoyed spending some time with some, and wish I could spend time with everybody. Looking forward to this evening.
Oh, by the way, I forgot to announce it.
I'll announce it.
after the service, we need some people to put up some chairs in the back. Wood. I got all that. Sorry.
Well, even if you don't set up the chair, we'll just stand around. I enjoyed talking to them, but no, I enjoyed so much being in the class this morning, and I thought, as Brother Todd was speaking, I thought, well, he's saying a lot of the things I'm going to say. But, the Apostle Paul said, finally, brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the things to you are not grievous. The same things, it's not grievous. And for you, it is safe. This is how we are grounded and settled in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we never grow too big or unneedy of this very same gospel message. And what a blessing it is when the Lord, in His mercy, because it is the mercy of the Lord, when He does correct us. Every son He received, He chastises. And if a person be without chastisement, they're not sons. So, what a blessing. This morning, I want you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 3. The title of this message this morning is The Command of the Gospel. And it's a very simple outline, very simple message. But the gospel is simple. The gospel is plain. But how wonderful it is to see it over and over again in all the scriptures. Over and over again. All the scriptures speak of Christ. They are to reveal Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ gives us eyes to see, ears to hear, gives us a new heart, what a wonderful thing it is. And I want to speak this morning from Joshua chapter 3, and then again tonight from Joshua chapter 3. The title of the message this evening, the Lord willing, will be Christ Alone. But I want us to look at these first three verses here in Joshua chapter 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass, after 3 days, that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. You know, God has purposed to save His children. Everything God does, He does on purpose. Aren't you thankful? All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to His purpose. He doesn't save anybody by accident. All things are ordained and decreed of God before the foundation of the world. All things are ordered and sure. David said, this is my hope, this covenant. But here they were, the children of Israel. God had given this land to the children of Israel, the promised land, Canaan. Here they were at the brink of Jordan, and they were unable to cross. Unable to cross. They were there by the purpose of God, by the decree of the Lord God, the God of all earth, as it says in verse 13. And God has chosen a people. The Apostle Paul said, "We thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen you unto salvation, elected a people unto salvation." But election is not salvation. Election is unto salvation. And God had purposed to give his people this promised land, just as he has purposed to give us the kingdom. It says there in Hebrews chapter 12, having received a kingdom, let us have grace. Let's be thankful. We've received a kingdom. But here they were at the brink of Jordan and unable to cross. And here's my first point. Here's my first point. God will make it clear to his people of their total inability. God will make it clear to his people of their total dependence upon him. Total inability. God will make it clear that there is no salvation apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's only one by where we may come before God the Father. Trusting in him alone. Trusting in his righteousness. He is our righteousness. Trusting in his sacrifice on the cross. Shedding his blood. Taking our sins. He was made sin for us who knew no sin. Trusting him alone. And there is no salvation. No coming to God the Father. No entrance. No acceptance before God except by and through the Lord Jesus Christ. But here they were at the brink of Jordan, then they could not cross. This is the teaching of the scriptures. Man is unable to come to God. No man could come to God. No man could come to the Father. No man could come to him except I'm going to have to read it. It's in John chapter 6. I'll quote it for you in Spanish, but there's no sense in doing that. John chapter 6. Verse 44. You know the text well. Our Lord said, "No man can come unto me." No man can come. That's not speaking about permission. I'm speaking about ability. No man has the ability. Man are dead spiritually. Unable to come to God. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. Man is dead spiritually. This is what happened in the garden. Ruined by the fall. Man was died spiritually. And he lost all knowledge of God, lost the way of God, lost the truth of God. And worse than that, he has no desire to come to God. He's happy where he's at. And God is going to show this to a man. We saw this earlier this morning in the class. Unless a man knows that he's sick and in need, he will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a man has some ability, that's where his trust will be. The Apostle Paul said, "We are the circumcision who worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus." That means we glory in the Lord Jesus Christ. We boast of him and his work. And we have no confidence in the flesh. That's not three things. That's all the same. That's all the same. You don't have one without the other. We are the circumcision. We are the children of God, those who are saved by the grace of God, who worship God in spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. It says here that after 3 days, 3 days. That day three is very significant in the Word of God. It's the day of resurrection. But no amount of time could go by that would enable man to somehow or another reach God. All eternity could go by, and man cannot produce righteousness whereby he may stand before God. All eternity could go by, and man could not put away one sin. But God's people, you know, the human race likes to boast of advancements. Advancements, you know, they say, well, man is getting better. More knowledge. And how much technology is going on. More knowledge. We're getting better. But the scriptures are plain. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And man at his very best, is altogether nothing. That's what that word vanity means. Nothing. The best man is nothing. God is going to show his people that all their salvation, and I know that I'm speaking here to brothers and sisters in Christ, and we rejoice in this truth. All our salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. All our salvation is him. By his doing, it's by the grace of God in Christ Jesus, and it's for his glory. Look here in Ephesians chapter 2 and read with me. And I know we've read these scriptures. I was watching a barn go up a couple of days ago, and I was reminded of this. When you're, those of you that build with lumber, if you put a board and you want it to stay in that place, you put a nail in it. And depending on how much force you're going to put on that, if you want it to really stay there, you put two nails in it. And then you might come back and you might put a third nail in it. Well, this is what we do when we look at the scriptures. We're getting grounded and settled. And every time we read it, it's just fresh. It's new. It's getting grounded and settled in the truth. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says there in verse 1, You who were dead in trespasses and sin, hath he quickened. I'm jumping over that on purpose right now. You who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Our salvation is all in Christ, is what he did and when he did it. If you look at that verse carefully, you don't see your faith in there at all. You're saved by the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in him. We believe in him, but we're saved by his faith, by his obedience, by his righteousness, by his knowledge. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, it says, knowing that a man is not saved, is not justified before God by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. We believe in him. Nobody is saved apart from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're safe. Your faith is a... what's the word? Sieve? Where if you make spaghetti and you put it in there and let the draw drains out, what's that called? A coladera. Well, now you learn the Spanish word. But our faith is full of holes. you know, we believe God, but at the same time we have fears and doubts, anxiety, and all those are just other names for unbelief. And we must cry, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So our faith is, I think someone said, if we put it in a thimble, it would rattle like a peanut in a box cart. Our faith is weak, but it's His faith, the faithful, the doing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We trust in Him, it says there in Galatians 2:16. We believe in Him. We believe in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But my point here is this. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. We were dead in sins. He quickened us together with Christ. When Christ went to the cross, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, that's when we died. When the Lord Jesus Christ was made sin for us and He died in the place, the room instead of His people. When He was cursed, was made sin and He died, that's when we died. That's when God's justice was satisfied in us. The law that says the soul must sin shall surely, the soul that sinneth it shall surely die, that's when we die. And when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the grave, that's our grave. And when the Lord Jesus Christ rose on the third day, that's our resurrection. And as He is seated on the throne, that's where we are, His people, seated in the heavenly places in Christ. And God is going to show this, that all our salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're quickened together with Him. But now, how has God purposed to show this? What God has done. This is what God has done. He did it in eternity past when He purposed it. He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And if he was slain for a purpose. He was slain for the sins of His people before the foundation of the world. This is too big for us. We weren't even around. But all this was done in God's purpose and mind before the foundation of the world. And yet it takes place in time. How is God going to show His people what He has done? Look back with me in my text. How has God purposed to show His people this truth concerning His salvation, His purpose of salvation to His people? Now here they were, the children of Israel, they were at the banks of Jordan, unable to pass 3 days. And it says that after 3 days, notice here how beautiful are the feet. The officers went through the host and they commanded the people. The officers went through the host and commanded the people, saying, this is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ must be preached. God has done the work, but He has purposed to save His people by the foolishness of preaching. In the wisdom of God, man knew not God by wisdom. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 21. By the preaching of the gospel, men have got to see, I'm jumping ahead here, but men have got to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They got to hear Him, hear who He is, hear what He's done, if they're going to believe in Him. If they do not hear Him, and if they do not hear about Him, then they cannot know Him. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, it says, Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you know religion has got that verse all backwards. They present that verse as if you're going to twist God's arm. as if a man's going to twist God's arm. Now, see, therefore, haven't you proclaimed the name of the Lord? Didn't you repeat this prayer after me? Didn't you raise your hand? Didn't you come down? Didn't you do this? That, that? It says here, all that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you going to say God's a liar? What blasphemy. This is not what this is teaching. All those that call on the name of the Lord are those who God has first taught them. God has first taught them their necessity, and God has taught them, God has given them faith already. It's out of a heart of belief that a man calls. God has already taught them their necessity. God has already taught them the Lord Jesus Christ, the remedy. And those are those who call on the name of the Lord, Lord, save me, and they will be saved in that final day, in eternity, because they were saved in eternity before the foundation of the world. And they were saved when the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and died for them, and they're being saved even today. That's what that scripture is teaching. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they not believe? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. You know, when someone tells you the truth, I think of that all the time. I think, the Lord has made my feet beautiful to some people. Ugly feet. But yet, you love the person that tells you the gospel. And people love you when you tell them the gospel. And the Lord blesses. And the Lord, they love you for it. They love you. And your feet become beautiful. He told me the truth. But they must be sent. And these officers were sent. They were commanded to go. Where did they get their authority from? They just woke up that third day and think, I think we're just going to go through the camp and we're going to command the people. No, they got their commandment. They got their authority from the same one we get our authority from. Joshua, our Lord Jesus Christ. Joshua told the officers, you go through the camp and tell the people. And we get our authority to go forth and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord Jesus Christ said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go preach the gospel to every creature. It's by his authority. And our authority does not come from a religious board. Our authority does not come from men. Our authority comes from, thus saith the Lord. And if we don't speak, thus saith the Lord, we don't have authority. But the officers went through the camp. What time do y'all let out? Am I running? No? I haven't got to my message yet. Well, here's my point. This is it. What was their message? They went through the camp and they commanded the people. What was their message? What was the message? Here's their message. It says here in our text, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God. This speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. This represents the Lord Jesus Christ, his deity, his humanity, his work. He is God. That's what that ark represented, is both his humanity and his deity. He is that place where God would meet with sinners on the mercy seat. He it was that would offer that sacrifice for sin to put away the sins of his people. That's where God's law was, in that ark. That's where God, the Lord Jesus Christ, his law was in his heart, and he kept and fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law. This is what the command is when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. When you see the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what we pray. Lord, bless your word. Lord, let people see you. What a blessing it is. What a blessing it is. I heard the prayer. Lord, we would see Jesus. We need to hear your word. We need to hear him. The Lord will bless that. The Lord will bless that. If you come to see the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll show himself. He's a merciful God. We must see him. And this is what we pray. Lord, reveal yourself. Take your word. Let people see you. Let people see your beauty. Men are blind. Men are deaf. Men are dead. They have no ability. But the gospel has to go forth in power. In the power of the Holy Spirit. Our message is a person. Our message is the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said, I determined when I came to you, he said over in Corinthians, he said, I didn't come to you in excellency of speech. I didn't come to you with philosophy and quoting people. He could have. He said at the feet of Gamaliel, he could have done that. But he said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus, who he is, the eternal Son of God, that holy thing that shall be born. You call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. The Christ, the eternal Son of God, manifest in the flesh. When you see Jesus, you must see him for who he is. Not a poor Jesus. Not a beggar Jesus. That's who religion presents him at. We do not preach this poor Jesus. And I speak in that term because that's all I can say about him. But when we speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're speaking of God Almighty. They speak of him in those terms, disrespectful. That's what he is. He's just a peanut God. He has no power. He has no authority. He can't do anything unless you give him the permission to do so. Waiting on man's will. You must see the Lord Jesus Christ. You must see him lifted up. And this is why we preach Christ. We preach Christ. We preach by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. With his authority. We preach Christ who is the word. The gospel of our salvation. The truth. A man must hear the truth. The word of truth. The gospel of his salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord Jehovah your God. We must see him. Now not with this carnal eye. And this is why we don't have. Is that niche? Is that the word in English? Niche? That's these little holes where they put statues in. They do this in Roman Catholicism, Mexico, and houses. They try to be religious, and they make these little, they put their idols there. They have a crucifix and all these kind of things. You know, there were men who saw the Lord Jesus Christ hanging on the cross, who did not see him. They saw him hanging on the cross and cried, crucify him, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. Who later, those same men, on the day of Pentecost, saw the Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the gospel. He wasn't there anymore before them, but they saw him. When the Apostle Peter preached on Pentecost, they said, oh, men and brethren, what must we do? What we've crucified the Lord of glory. Well, that's the kind of eyesight. It's the eyesight that God gives. That eyesight where a man can see the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're everything that my soul desires. You're everything that my soul needs. Without you, I perish. Save me. You are the one who can go before God. You're the one that could bring me to God. We must see Him in His humanity. We must see Him in His deity. We must see Him as the fulfillment of all the Scriptures. The fulfillment of all the Scriptures in the Old Testament. Now, I know there's a lot of places where we don't see Him. But you know what? We will see Him. We know in part, we prophesy in part. One day we're going to see Him face to face. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It not yet appeared what we shall be. But when He shall appear, and when He appears in the Scriptures, oh, that's wonderful. When you see Him as the Savior of sinners, you see yourself as a sinner. The two things that happen when the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. First, the command is, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But in our text it says, and they commanded the people saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the priests Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. And this is why we preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men must repent and men must believe. But the only thing that will produce both repentance and faith, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, is the gospel message, the Lord Jesus Christ. When you see the Ark of the Covenant, when you see the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when you see yourself as a sinner. This is one of the points that was brought out earlier. I hope I could bring it out as well. But a man cannot come to repentance by looking inside. And a person can say, oh, I'm a miserable person. But that will never produce repentance towards God. Repentance towards God comes from seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing Him. When a man, you'll remove from your place, that is, your thoughts. My thoughts will be changed. My ways will be changed. When I see the Lord Jesus Christ, that's when my thoughts are changed. That's when my ways. Repentance does not come by contemplating the miserable state of our sinfulness. That only causes more depression. You look inside, that's a sure recipe for depression. And by the way, it doesn't produce repentance towards God. It just makes you miserable. Repentance towards God comes from looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance does not come by threat of doom and hell, contemplating the Jordan. Repentance comes by hearing the gospel. Don't you know that it's the goodness of God that leads you to repentance? Romans 2, verse 4. A man is going to repent of his sin. A man is going to repent of his sins. And a man is going to repent of his supposed righteousness. We're always in need. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ just as we came the very first time. As helpless, needy sinners. Repentance. This is how the Apostle Paul summed up his ministry. He said, I preach to you repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 20, when he was speaking to the elders there. This is the command of the gospel. When you see the Lord Jesus Christ, repent. That's the only thing that will cause repentance. Repentance. To see the Lord Jesus Christ. And the second part of that command is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him. Follow Him. Follow Him. I'm going to hurry here. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we come to Him, we learn of Him. And we are rebuked. We're corrected. We're corrected. Has anybody arrived? The Apostle Paul said, I don't pretend to have arrived. I don't pretend that I've arrived. And by the way, when the Apostle Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who do you think he was seeing? Do you think he was looking at himself? The Apostle Paul looked at himself at one time and said, as concerning the law, I was blameless. So, nobody could say to me, Paul, you're doing wrong here. That's not. And a person could look to others, and all that's going to say is, the man's prayer is going to be something like this. I thank thee, God, that I'm not like other men. But a person can't look at the Lord Jesus Christ and say anything but, oh, wretched man that I am. A man comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and follows after the Lord Jesus Christ just as he began. Poor, guilty, helpless sinner. That's where our fellowship is at. Our fellowship as with the Lord Jesus Christ is as sinners in need of a Savior. And if we ever get out of the place where we need where we're not sinners, well, we don't need a Savior. And He'll spew us out. As ye have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Colossians 2 says. And Hebrews 12 says, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking to Him, the author and finisher of our faith. Well, that's the command of the gospel. When you hear, when you see. And that's not just an isolated time in the past. That's not talking about... There are people here who have never come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come to the Lord, you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ when He gives you eyes to see. When He shows you your desperate condition in need of Him. When you see the Lord Jesus Christ and His beauty, you'll come to Him. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. You'll come. But you who that have come, you continue to come. You continue to come when you see Him. When you see the Lord, it's a to whom coming. To whom coming. I need Him today. I need Him today. I repent today. May the Lord bless His word.